Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? Welcome to Tuesday Nights Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, joined as always by Pain User and In Control. And tonight, a special guest. We've got EG Machine taking EG Idris' spot because apparently he's fallen in love with France. He loves baguettes. He's going to stay there a little bit longer. And there's nothing you can really do about it. You know, baguettes are awesome. So...
That and we took an internal poll. We found out that Idris' results in the recent tournament, ESWC, is just not up to snuff here for us inside the game. So we've replaced him with Machine.
Okay, yep. There we go. Yeah, and our strict anti baguette policy, of course, also
yes.
comes into play there. So.
He will need some decontamination time from the Frenchness that will be on him.
Yeah, now I know a lot of people are going to be upset, but I think you can probably show the same enthusiasm as Idra would show when we're talking about
yes.
the new units.
Oh, yes.
Please.
I can definitely be our token angry short zerg.
Okay.
I've got this.
All right. With the chin strap and, I mean, and everything. So we're
Bryce, you're already fucking up. I'm seeing smiles and laughter coming
out. I know, right?
There it is. Solid.
And with the occasional just chuckle. But it's usually only when ProDOS is mentioned in a negative light.
You know Greg's happy when you just see one corner of his mouth slightly
red. Oh, I know. Right?
That's him. Like, laughter. That's like an explosion of joy.
Oh, I know.
That's funny. I like it. All right, guys. So we're going to jump right into things because there is actually quite a bit to cover. And before we went on air, it's probably the most breaking thing we can discuss, but Jeff was like, boom! Patch notes 1.4.2, they're on the PTR, Terran, destroyed, ProDOS, buffed, and I'm looking at these notes, and it's like literally no lie. That's exactly what we got tonight.
You could even say that ProTOS got an upgrade.
Oh, God.
No one actually saw that, of course, because I was showing the webpage, but
it was
a thing of wonder.
It's one of my finest zoom-ins.
I should have known the moment you took the pause, dramatic interpretation, I like totally lost it there. So anyway.
We'll do it again. One more time.
Okay,
ready?
One more time.
You could even say that ProDOS got an upgrade. Eh?
That was good.
Maybe?
I thought it was pretty good.
First one's better, but I'll take
good.
The second one.
And they will get an upgrade, because you know what? It wasn't good enough that you could chrono boost upgrades. Why not make them cheaper?
Greg,
you know? What is it? Someone's got to play Greg's role, but like, just hear me out a little bit, right? I know you're just like, you're playing a normal game, and your energy's kind of going up on your Nexus, and you're like,
here's what I would say.
I'm going to just casually think about what I should throw this energy chrono boost towards. And then you're like, oh, you know what? I've got this minimal amount of money for these upgrades. Why don't I just go ahead and spend it and chrono boost
it? Well, they actually had it mislabeled. It was under one of the bug fixes, and they had it called the bug was fixing the upgrade costs because for some reason it was more expensive than Zerg and Terran. And it slipped there. It slipped past them for a year. But I'm glad they were able to fix that.
Because
they,
it could get
they wanted to
boosted?
Call it a boost, just so they didn't get the PR nightmare that would have been otherwise.
Do you think it's going to be double forge everything?
It already is double forge everything.
Yeah, right.
Fair enough.
There's no adjustment there.
I guess now it'll just be faster double forge all the things.
Like that, to be honest, it's nice.
No, it's going
to
be triple forge now.
Okay, let's talk about the impact of 50 extra minerals for a ProDOS every freaking game. Like. Not that big of a deal. It's the frickin' 25% range reduction on EMP that should have ProTOS players around the globe tweaking their nipples.
Fair enough.
And that is exciting stuff. That's literally... I did the math, Wheat. It's 25%.
I did the math. Science.
25%?!
Science.
What do you guys think? You're Terran? Pain User and Caster, who's seen EMP just basically like bend over ProDOS before and got him good.
I'm totally cool with it. I think it'll give ProTOSes the option to spread out their army and actually, you know, like now we see ProTOSes trying to counter EMP by spreading their army, right? but they still have clusters of units. They'll still have an immortal with two sentries, or maybe two sentries here, two sentries there. And with the current range of EMP, they can still hit those pockets of important units. And with the reduced range, I think it'll make it a lot easier for Protoss to split their army apart.
Hang on, we got some math whizzes.
Huh?
It went from 2 to 1.5.
Oh, yeah. I see.
How is that 44%?
I don't know.
Oh, it's because it's a frickin' circle, man.
Yep.
They're getting all mathy on me. Listen, guys, listen. You want to talk to Nathaniel Hawthorne and Grand Poe, we'll do it. Take your advanced skid math, alright? Take your advanced skid math and you can shove it. We're going to call it 25% inside the game. Like, John, can we
now,
try this?
No, but
raise of hands.
I understand it was absolutely an initiative by the Protoss to make it seem like it was net less of a nerf for the Terrans. And they just blew the lid off of it.
Too much, we're not going to get it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like 44%. That's a lot higher than 25!
For damn sure that the people doing the math in this chat are not... Those are not Zerg and Terran players. Those are Protoss players. You guys got to pipe down.
Yeah, you
got to
be quiet. Got to be quiet.
Zergs and Terrans don't know how to do that math.
And, I've heard oh God. Math.
And, 1A plus 3A equals GG.
Do you guys agree, though, with Pain User that it's going to make those spreads like more worthwhile? Like, I do see Protoss players a lot of times, like, you know, they're spending some time spreading their units out, and then they, like, move one set of units together, and suddenly it's just like, and they are back together. So, you know, overall, what it...
Well, it's huge.
Bryce and
I mean,
Jeff?
Yeah, it is huge.
Or, literally, it's not as huge.
It's still going to be very strong. Like, EMP against, like, a Protoss ball right now does actually, like, thousands of damage for, you know, just 100 energy or 75 energy or whatever. So any sort of reduction that you can get on that is just going to be, you know, big advantage when engaging, like, a Terran army.
I think it's good. I mean, I think some of the stuff they were talking about was making it an upgrade. And I don't necessarily know that would have been that big of an issue. Again, it's not like the huge problem was that Terran players have, like, you know, 150 more minerals and 150 more gas. It was just that they had this ability that when it hits a clumped up Protoss army or an army that even if you're trying to spread, it's still hard to spread. It does, like Bryce said, literally thousands of damage. So the small radius, the idea is it'll do less damage, and hopefully that's nice.
Any negative thoughts on it, Pain User, or anything that worries you about this, even the upgrade side of it?
Not really. I mean, right on. You're probably going to have to get extra ghosts now, which, I mean, we've already seen people building, you know, 10 to 15 ghosts against Protoss, and that's ample EMPs even with the current radius, so I think, I mean, ghosts are still going to be amazing. You're still going to need to blanket, you're going to have enough ghosts just to blanket the entire Protoss army with EMPs, so whatever that sweet spot is, I'm sure people will find it and adjust their ghost count accordingly, but you'll probably have to invest a little bit more in ghosts, but I think overall, EMP is still going to be amazing. It's still going to be just as good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next topic. By the way, I just want to give a shout out to Javio _ on Twitter. He is going to earn the QQ award for the day as he just tweeted to the show that he stayed up late to see Idra on ITG. Turns out that he's not here and no one bothered to tweet about it. Not cool.
Son of a bitch.
So, Javio...
What? Your practice machine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Show some respect,
you know,
Javio.
Listen, I hear, like, sarcasm in your voice. I don't like it. I mean, he's got to wake up tomorrow to catch the early Reddit posts. He needs to do his upvoting, his downvoting. After that, he's got to catch Slasher Show. He's got a rigorous schedule of pretending to be other people on Twitter. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous that you would go out of your way to make it sound like he's not that important or something. Come on.
I didn't go out of my way, but I see where you're coming from. I'll just say there.
He's going to come to one of your shows and tell you the date of that tweet, and he's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you.
Jimenez. I'm sure he will be back in a future episode of the program, and we'll leave it at that. Let's talk a little bit about another topic that is on the discussion blocks, and that, of course, being the Season 4 1v1 ladder map changes. That's right. Instead of going, keep applauding, Jeff, because, you know, instead of going all 9 yards for that touchdown, right? Instead of going all 9 yards and maybe even including some of the tournament maps that are being played on the circuit right now, let's give that round of applause for going 8.5 yards and not quite reaching the goal, but giving us something to still hold on to.
It's their longest drive yet.
Yes, yeah, it is. 8.5 yards, the whole 8.5 yards, as they did eliminate close positions on certain maps. They got rid of some crappy maps, brought back Metalopolis, but still didn't quite give us what we wanted. Your thoughts? Four maps.
Go ahead, Payne, you go first.
I don't know, did any of you guys catch the interview with Dustin Browder from Team Liquid after BlizzCon?
I did not.
I haven't seen it yet.
All right, so there's like a 5 minute segment towards the end of the video where Kenna gets like, so we saw these changes that you're proposing with the map pool, like, you know, what's going on there? Are you guys taking community input? And then he also mentioned that there's community based map developers that make competitive maps. And why isn't Blizzard endorsing any of that? Why isn't Blizzard looking at these community-based map developers who give maps to the pro players and they ask friends to test them out and they continue to improve upon them until they have a version that's like actually tournament viable? And Dustin Browder was just like completely, completely stumped. He was like, that's actually a really good question. He's like, we haven't looked into that at all. And he doesn't even know what to say to it. And it seems like...
Other people make maps?
Yeah. And it seems like Blizzard, you know, their map team, I don't know who's on their map team or if they're competitive players or, you know, how many competitive players they really run the maps by, but some of the quote-unquote final versions of their ladder maps that get introduced in the patches are just absolutely horrible. It's like not a single pro has played them. I mean, you can just take a look at all the maps that they've been adding and removing. Once, just play like 5 games on it as soon as they release the patch, and all of us are like, oh, these three are absolutely terrible, they're crappy, these three are okay. It's like everybody knows immediately, and they're so drastically good or bad. There's like, it seems like there's no testing that goes into it. And Dustin Browder, honestly, he was like, you know, maybe we should look at these community map developers that make maps and really think about looking into that. And Kenny was like, yeah, maybe you should. And then they just like stopped it there.
Well, you don't want to, I mean, if he doesn't have a real answer, you don't drive it too far, and I guess, but I mean, for one thing, I think the maps, they're moving in the right direction, right? Metalopolis should have always been in the map pool. It was kind of silly that they took it out.
8.5 yards.
I think one of the only reasons it was taken out was because close positions are garbage there against Zerg specifically, and they went ahead and were like, you know, we've checked it out. We've noticed that every tournament for the last like 8 months has been not having close positions, and we think, well, you know, maybe they're onto something. Maybe we'll just give it a shot in the ladder. And I'm glad. So, I mean, this keeps happening with Blizzard and in StarCraft II specifically, where it's like they do something nice, but it's like it's like late, and it's not. It's 8.5 yards, like you said. So I can't help but to sound really ungrateful because I'm happy about the map pool. It's better, but it's still not what it should be. Like, it's not there yet, and it took them a long ass time to get there. So,
and you know, to like put a defensive shield up, because there are some people in chat that are like, you should just be thankful for what you get. And it's like, you know what? I mean, absolutely, as Jeff said, like, there's definitely, I mean, I'm thankful for sure. But I'm also feeling like of all of the easy things for them to fix, I could forgive them that they don't have these hard-to-develop things that take a long time to put into the game. When it seems like they can toggle a few checkboxes and make maps appear in the official ladder pool, that to me seems like a huge oversight as far as how Blizzard can really contribute to the growth of the tournament scene. And that's fucking so easy to understand. And I don't understand why people are not behind that. 100%.
Yeah.
Let me throw this out. Tell me what you guys think about this. Because originally what I thought is that, you know, maybe Blizzard doesn't want to show favoritism, right? Like, whose version of Metalopolis do they include? MLGs? NASLs? GSLs? Right. Like, I don't know. And do these organizations feel comfortable enough maybe allowing Blizzard? See, I think that if GSL creates a map like they have, then put GSL in front of the name. If all these tournaments have the same changes for Metalopolis, just implement them and create the official tournament Metalopolis so that we don't have to necessarily choose anymore. If MLG still wants to use their map, so be it. But at least the same experience is happening. Bryce, right. What do you think? You ladder a lot as well, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly this is obviously something that should have been done a while ago. And I kind of like the idea you had about, like, which version to use, like GSL, MLG, whatever. Just kind of take, like, the average one, you know, the one that you're most generically going to be playing in any sort of tournament, and then, you know, add that to the map pool. It's very simple, you know, once again, like, just an easy concept, and it's really surprising that they haven't done it so far.
They could also be, like, the unifying factor. We talk about this all the time, how annoying it is that all the different tournaments have different versions of the maps, so you have to, like, prepare for different things. Blizzard is, like, the one group or organization that's in a position to just lay down the standard, and they just introduce all these crazy maps that are never going to be put into tournament play, and they're constantly taking them in and out much too rapidly to have any kind of, like, serious significant testing done that would make them tournament worthy. So I don't know what they're doing with the whole Blizzard map pool. It's crazy. They've introduced and taken out so many maps. It's crazy. I don't know what they're thinking over there.
Jeff, final thoughts? I've pretty much said my piece.
You know, they need to take out Zoldar Caverns.
I agree.
God,
get rid of that horrid shit.
I don't know about that.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
He's joking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you too. Even though I feel removed it, right?
Yeah.
All I would say is I'd put in different words kind of what Taylor said, and I just think that I don't think Blizzard's very much so concerned with stepping on toes of tournaments. What they've kind of always done is just said, well, here's what we're doing. And what they could do intelligently is just grab what obviously every map seems to be featuring, which is not close positions, not allowing pylons to block in the ramp or depots or bunkers, and just release a generic one with your name on it. I mean, Blizzard has the rights to every freaking map out there, so go ahead and do it. But the fact that Dustin Browder or whoever, I mean, I didn't watch the interview, so I don't want to speak to it too strongly, but they really should be looking at the maps, because as much testing as Blizzard can do, and I'm sure they're doing a lot, they're never going to match the 5 million people that are playing it every day for 10 hours. You know, like, use those numbers, use the tournaments, and you will have a much crisper, more enjoyable experience for everyone.
I think to expand on that too, like, the maps themselves should play a huge factor in game dev and balancing. And I don't think that they necessarily do. I don't know if they take, like, the map development into consideration when they're balancing the game and designing new units and stuff like that. I really don't know how big of a part that plays, but I know at least in late competitive Brood War, the maps were everything. They were complete, like, styles based around the different map types, and it's kind of the same way for StarCraft II right now, but you know, unless Blizzard gets behind it and starts really supporting a specific style of maps, it's like, the map play right now is just so dynamic on all the different maps. There's different builds, there's different tricks on all the maps, and they're all so diverse that, I don't know, it just doesn't really cater to, like, some of the maps cater to macro-style play, long, epic games, but a lot of the maps, there's just all kinds of, like, cheesy, crazy, ridiculous stuff you can do. Zelnaga being a prime example. Well,
how about, I mean,
super small, and you can end in 5 minutes.
Would it kill Blizzard to just not make maps anymore and rely on the community?
No, I don't think so at all.
I don't think so either.
That's like a resource that's available to them that they're not tapping into.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe it's that they want to own that intellectual property and, like, have, like, this is our map, and that's cool. I can respect that, but it doesn't mean every single map that you're going to put out is going to be worth a damn, and I think the community's got some great stuff. So, anyway. All right. Any final comments on the ladder map changes? Negative?
No. Or good?
Nope.
All right, let's talk. Where do you want to go next? You want to talk about the new units?
Yeah, let's just get that over with.
Just get over. All right, well, I want
it over with.
I want to give a shout out to the Rusher on Reddit. He made an awesome post that pretty much put all of the changes with the videos and everything. Like, we're going to watch all this shit and see all the graphics and stuff because of this guy. But One thing that is not in here, or I think it was actually added later on, but I think one of the biggest things is Pylon Warping High Ground, not okay. And
that's awesome.
You thought that's awesome?
That's great. Love it.
I kind of think that it sucks.
It just gets rid of a whole bunch of stupid all-ins.
Well, maybe it would actually help for warp prisms, but
I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah, it's totally cool with me.
Yep, seems all right.
I would say I'm not. I think it adds a gameplay mechanic that's kind of...
retarded.
Now, did they say that low ground didn't work as well?
No, I think low ground works. Powers buildings, or can you still use that field to warp in units?
Oh, I thought it was warp in.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know. If it's warp in, seriously, like I actually don't really think that's a problem right now. It does eliminate a lot of like potential timing attacks, and I don't think that's really necessary. Like, you should be scouting the perimeter of your base anyway, so I don't know.
Word. All right. Well, so anyway, let's talk a little bit about this as we
link us to that.
That well organized thread. Okay, hold on. Let me pull the link here real quick.
I mean, I played all three races at BlizzCon. I know all the units and what they do and how it plays out. We were actually totally cheating. We were playing against each other, but we weren't killing each other, and we were just maxing out and slamming into each other with like all the new units and having huge battles. It was pretty crazy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sending this to you. If you could send that with, or if you could send that over to the other chat for the guys, that would be awesome. Pain user. All right, sweet. Okay, so here we go. We got it up on Reddit. You can actually search for just Heart of the Swarm or BlizzCon on Reddit. You'll find it. Got the trailer, the Blizzard official posts. They talk a little bit about the physics and the graphical updates, and then they go on to talk about the units. Let's start off with the replicant. Dun, dun, dun. The globe of death that costs a lot of money.
That thing is going to be crazy, man. I, like, I don't know. I just, it's, from a balance perspective, that unit seems like a freaking nightmare. I don't even know why, like, I don't know. It just seems like there's so many different possible situations where you can, you know, replicate a bunch of siege tanks or something like that and just completely swing a battle. There's no way for them to test all the possible, you know, situations for a replicant. So I think it's just crazy. I don't know how it's going to play out.
Doesn't the cost of
it... I do.
Okay, tell us, Jeff. Drop it on us.
It's going to be fucking awesome, dude. I'm going to replicate a whole bunch of Ravens against Terrans, and PDD is going to be amazing. I'm going to drop Hunter Seeker missiles on their bio balls. I'm going to have Ghosts EMPing their Ghosts, so Terrans will be bitching about Terrans. It's like, it's an absolute dream come true. Finally, I can play Protoss, but in playing Protoss, I can play Terran. And I'll win.
I'll
play fucking Terran, man. Why would I?
You're only going to take Ghosts and Ravens.
God. I'm thinking about fungling shit, EMPing it, and then dropping Hunter Seeker missiles on it with my Colossus standing behind, laughing, because they don't have to do shit.
It controller's like, finally, there is a unit worthy of my epic micro, as I will be doing all of these things at the same time, and it would be the most amazing game I'd ever witnessed.
Yeah.
I was actually just about to say that, like, the micro required to, like, steal spellcasting units in battle and then, like, use them against the other player, that would be pretty difficult.
Yeah,
it's doable, but like, good God!
What do you think about the cost?
Painter. Challenge accepted. I accept the challenge of utilizing PDD in Hunter Seek missiles, whilst 1A-ing my Colossus Death Ball.
I gotta disagree. I don't think this unit's gonna be like quite as imbalanced as everyone thinks. Like, just due to cost and supply alone. And the fact that it can't really turn into like a massive unit, unless, you know, it's not really going to be cost effective unless you're somehow stealing a unit that costs more than 200, because they could just go ahead and throw those sort of resources into the same exact unit and have more than you. But
I think it's real. its real scare is taking units that have high energy accumulated and important upgrades researched already.
No, I agree with Machine. I think it's not going to...
But it doesn't matter, does it? Like,
I think it'll be fine. Like, they can just make the same thing.
Wait, didn't I understand it that, like, you get the unit with max upgrade, or is it...
you get all the upgrades. Whatever, though. Like, I think honestly...
No, it's just
whatever upgrades they previously
the average
had.
Replicant.
I see.
Okay, so if I make 5 replicants, then I make them into ravens, the money I spent over on that replicant will pay for the upgrades that I otherwise would have had to upgrade. So
they're slow. They have 60 HP and 60 shields. Imagine getting, like, 6 replicants sniped. That'd be huge.
Imagine getting the replicant sniped.
Shut up. We'll see. I really don't think that this one is going to be that OP.
That will be the first thing that changes about that unit if it's in multiplayer. It's like, it can't be that. I can't imagine it could be that fragile.
I think it's not going to be that big of a deal.
It's going to be fragile, I guarantee.
Right. And you know what? If one floating orb wasn't good enough, how about 2 bitches as they add the Oracle as well? Yeah.
The Oracle I actually see as being a very, 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 very good unit. We played around with it a lot. It's impressive. It's
broken?
Super fast. It's incredibly fast. It's like Corsair speed almost without an upgrade. And its spells are actually really good. Entomb is amazing. If you just continually entomb harass different expansions, I mean, I would just run with 3 of them all game and just continually harass all their bases.
How are they going to get entomb off? Because there's going to be stacked defenses that it can't do anything about.
Wait. Phase shift.
There's more?
Yes, there's more. God. I don't know. This unit is so broken.
I would love to see the video on the Oracle.
I'm putting it up right now,
Let me describe what he says. He goes, "We've been noticing people have been expanding against Protoss, and we at Blizzard thought that that was bullshit. Not expand against Protoss. So we made a unit that can literally render your defenses useless and then shut down a base. But to balance it, we only gave each force field 75 health. So your drones can literally bring down the force fields in just under 8 minutes. It's not that big of a deal."
And we're watching it one more time. Bam, bam, bam. What's up, static defenses?
Dustin Browder's like, "The Ball of Death is already amazing. We are creating Protoss units that will not integrate into the Ball of Death. The Oracle is one of those
units." This is the heart of the storm, by the way. This isn't even the motherfucking void yet.
I know,
the void.
I know. It's going to be like, it's going to put a giant fucking bubble over an entire expansion. It's just going to be like, this 8 billion hit point bubble will remain there until either the replicant dies, or the
inside
Oracle dies, or yeah, exactly.
Filled with water.
You know, it's kind of one of those weird things, because I love the concept of a different way to shut down economy. You know, like, that to me is really kind of cool thinking. That I'm like, man, this is awesome. This could kind of change the way. But I have to agree with you guys that it kind of, you know, when I make mutas, I'm also doing the gamble that maybe they're going to have some cannons early on and maybe they're not. You know, and so with this time, it's like, it doesn't matter.
It's a really cool idea, and the animation's awesome, but it just doesn't function for this kind of RTS. Like, if in StarCraft the standard gameplay was both people sitting in their bases, not harassing, not attacking, like massing up armies, kind of like Command & Conquer used to be to a certain extent. Now, of course, there's going to be like 3 snobs in the chat who are like, "That's not in most modern Command & Conquer play." Like, I understand, but for the most part, it used to be that you just massed up units. Then it would function in that. It'd be cool, because both people would have, like, a return, you know? Like, there'd be the Oracle for Protoss, Terran, and Zerg. But with Protoss just having this unit that literally drops down an ability to negate stack defenses, and then it moves faster than most units, and then it shuts down bases, what the hell is the risk for the Protoss player?
Yeah,
where's the risk? Why would I... why would I ever not make oracles, right? Like,
yeah. I'm really glad you're like on the same page on this one, because it's insane.
It would be stupid to say otherwise. What Protoss player would ever be like, no, hold the phone, okay? The oracle doesn't have its own attack. So I'm like, listen, okay? So you got like 30 supply of these oracles that are taken out of your army. And then they're like, well, you shut down all their bases. I don't care. How are you going to fight them? Because oracles don't have arms.
Right. You know, the other thing, too, that when we watch all these videos, it's safe to say that they have increased the effects of what all these units do to show in a drastic way what they're supposed to do. So, for example, what would 200 energy out of a unit like this actually get you? Is an entomb going to be 75 energy? Is it going to be 50? Are they going to have 4 applications? Are they only going to have 2 applications because it's 100 energy?
They're certainly going to have to tinker with it, because in the state that I played in Heart of the Swarm, I mean, it's just flat out amazing. It's such a good unit. It's crazy. Its scouting capabilities as well. Preordain, we didn't even get into that. It's pretty amazing. Just the ability to like fly through their base, see exactly what they're doing, and then if you see some sort of a tech structure that has a key upgrade, you can just preordain and figure out exactly what they're up to and which tech route they're taking, which upgrade they're getting, and it gives you sight. I mean, and it's already an amazing scouting unit just with its speed and sight and being an air unit.
It looks like the head of an owl a little bit.
What do you
see? It? Thank you, Wade.
I can't unsee it now. It's like,
I don't know. I mean, they're not going to scrap the unit, more than likely. So what it'll be in its reduced form is the health of the crystals on the minerals will be less. There might be less crystals, or less...
Yeah.
I don't know what to call them, force fields or whatever that block up crystals.
Yeah, they're like miniature, like, mineral force fields.
But they're still going to be great. You know, people in the chat were like, you can make Vikings and they'll shut it down. Nah. But they're not understanding, like, now I'm forcing the Terran player to post Vikings around their expansions. Like,
yeah.
Well, also, with the speed, it looks like there's no risk. Like, even if they had Vikings, it's like, I can't force
you
them to...
You just see the Vikings, and you just bounce.
I force, you know, them to go ahead and defend this base, and all right, let's go ahead and see if they defend this base. Like, blah, 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 you know?
It's a problematic unit, and like I said, I think it's another gameplay thing, or game design, rather, where I don't know that it has a place in this game.
Well, let's talk about the third Protoss unit then, guys, because, of course, all these will may or may not even make it into the multiplayer aspect of Heart of the Swarm. But we've got the Tempest.
They're making it in Wheat, by the way. They spent all their time on this. They spent this last year making Heart of the Swarm. They're not going to scrap these a couple months out. They're going in, buddy.
They're going to go in. They're going to go in for... Well, you mean in multiplayer?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're getting these units.
All right.
Maybe not in this form, but we're getting them. I'm sure.
Well, what do you think of the Tempest? I'll go to Bryce, the Zerg player, as they demonstrate here. Let's go to the gameplay video.
God, well...
You know what? What's worse than just waking up and finding out that your dog got hit by a car? Watching, like, 87 mutas disintegrate in a couple of fucking hits from these things, I think, is...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. A 22 damage attack with, like, that large a splash, like... What was it, like, 3 of them, like, 4-shot 20 mutas or something, like, or 2-shot 20 mutas? That can't stay. Not for that sort of cost. And they also do ground-to-air as well. It's not like they're, you know, just some sort of, like, specific air-to-air, like, counter. They do ground attack as well. They have great range. I don't know. I don't really see a great counter for these.
They're amazing.
Yeah. So,
and we were testing it. We were like, trying to see cost for cost if Corruptors... We're good at taking them down, and Corruptors don't even really serve a purpose taking them down as capital ships. At least, like, mass versus mass, once the AE is able to, you know, fully play out, if there's enough Corruptors stacked up, they still just murder Corruptors. It's disgusting.
How fast... I mean, this video doesn't give a very good indication on actually how fast they are. Well, they're faster than Void Rays, they look like.
Yeah, they're pretty quick. They're just, like, really expensive, and they take a long time to build. But I don't know, like, it'll be interesting. The carrier obviously wasn't really used very much, although I think we saw it used in GSL a couple times, like a few weeks ago. But I think Hogan Prime was doing like some two-base carrier shenanigans, but that's whatever. It didn't really have its place in StarCraft 2, so you know, maybe the Tempest will actually fill that void. But with the other units that they're adding, I mean, I don't see why you would need to build the Tempest unless it's a super late-game situation and the Zerg is like massing Mutas or something. But against Terran, I don't think that the Tempest is going to be that great just because of Vikings.
How is the air to ground damage, like, as far as like,
oh, it's good.
It's 35 to single
target.
It's
really good, dude. Yeah, it's good.
So, I guess
yeah, pretty good range too.
Yeah.
Same.
Any final thoughts, or should we move on to the Terran?
Well, I haven't played the Tempest, so I can't really say. People in the chat are talking about how Dustbriar said all these units could very much so not make it into the multiplayer, which is obviously the opposite of what I just said, but. I mean, I don't want to call him a liar, obviously, he knows better than I do, but I would say, I would find it very difficult that all these units would get scrapped. Like, they spent BlizzCon announcing them, they had a campaign where they unveiled these units in their wireframe. They know they want new units in Heart of the Swarm, right? So, I mean, it's possible that some of these get scrapped. I would just find it very, very hard that not some of these made it in. And my point as a Protoss player is I think all three of them, the Tempest, the Replicant, and the Oracle, are insanely good, like ridiculously good, much better than the Terran and Zerg counterpart units that got
right.
added to the game. So
there's no doubt about that.
My point is, I think all three of them. If I get one of these three, I'm like embarrassingly happy about it.
Right.
I feel like someone like my dad finally selected his favorite son. Like, it's been you all along, Jeff. You know, like, go away, Colby. It's you. Yeah, we're going to give you this awesome thing, and I would feel bad about it, but I would take it and win. So, I mean, the Tempest, amazing anti-air. It looks like it makes Mutas ridiculous. Like, I know Protoss are having a tough time with Mutas in the late game, but I don't think tough time should denote that they need to get completely slaughtered. Like, it's not like Mutas are unbeatable right now,
sure.
And it's this ridiculously broken strategy. They're not, but... this unit makes it so like it's like, ah, darn, I was going Mutas and you went Tempest. Now I can't win anymore.
I'm so sick of that approach to balance. It's like,
yeah,
we have a problem here. It's like implement unit that just absolutely dominates unit B.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll
all
see.
Right. Well,
they're replacing the mothership, or they're taking out the mothership and they're taking out the carrier. They do need to replace that role. Like, it's stupid that Protoss,
right.
where we go from Brood War, where the carrier was like, king of he's the king of all capital ships. It was the coolest effing thing you could make in that game. You could micro the shit out of it. It literally was game-changing PvT. Like, if Terran was not prepared for it, they were dead. That's how powerful it was. In this game, it's like, ta-da, carriers! And the Terran's like, already
got this. I got this. It's not good.
Yeah. I'm
good.
I was worried. I was like, where did his army go? I was like, okay, I've got Vikings anyway, so
before
fine.
Before we go into the Terran units, let's talk about the changes to the existing units. Yeah, so carrier removed, mothership removed. They got the arc shield that grants buildings a 20 damage versus light attack, as well as additional shields and armor.
That is insane, dude. The Protoss ability to make defensive cannons everywhere.
Clearly broken.
Is insane.
Defensive, offensive.
I think that one's less broken than the mass recall as well.
Dude, and the mass recall? Like, what the hell is that? The Nexus?
Here's what I'm saying.
Once you have, like, four Nexus, you're just like, oh, blink stalkers into your main, like, snipe your command center, recall back.
If any one of these make it into the game, I am so fucking happy. Like, all down the line, arc shield, mass recall, the three units... And I'm not even going to get into the fact that they're talking about making EMP an upgrade and some of those stuff that's going on over there. If any one of those makes it in, I'll feel so good. I'll feel so happy.
They changed a bunch of other random like shit that we were noticing. Like nukes, how they increased the time it takes for a nuke to hit, and they changed the damage, too. I don't know why, but... So it takes, like, 5 seconds longer to actually deploy the nuke, and then... they do less damage. I don't know why they did that. And then they removed Reaper speed, and now Reapers actually heal.
Yeah, we'll get to the Terran changes because they're all documented here as well. Let's go over the units first.
I don't know. We're talking about the Protoss tower upgrade.
All right.
What?
we'll just finish the Protoss, like their abilities, and just move to Terran Zerg.
Yeah.
What? It's awesome.
Well, basically, the whole Arc Shield thing, I don't really think, you know, first off, it's obviously broken, being able to steal someone's assimilator and then, like, cannon rush them with it, like, lol, that's so funny. You know? Or, like, pylons, things like that. But beyond like, looking at, like, general concept of the idea, of all the races between Terran, Zerg, and Protoss, Protoss is the only one who can actually, like, oh, I'm getting dropped right here. I'm going to warp in my army right there. Like, just, you know, with warp gates.
Yeah. And
so by adding, like, arc shields on top of that, it's like, you know, you could, like, bait the Terran into dropping you and then be like, oh, you're fucked. Like,
you know,
20 cannons just pop up. 15
whole army shows up. There's cannons and shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's dumb.
You know that video of the little girl, or that picture, the famous internet meme of the little girl who's, like, running with, like, a lollipop on her side or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
I could see, like, the whole Terran army looking like that, like, when they show up.
I feel like this is one of those things that's going to be a mission in the game, where it's like, you can only defend using the arc shield ability of the next, and, like, that's the only way that it could possibly even see the light of day. Because I'm with you. Like, the potential for, oh my god, man, as if Protoss wasn't already labeled, like, gotten the rep for, like, the most cheesy race.
Here's my vow to you guys. If this does go through, in the first week of it going through, I will have Idra suicidal. I will update. Because, you know, he doesn't read up on this shit. He, like, hears about it. People tweet him, like, Greg, what do you think about this? And he's like, that's fucking terrible. And then he doesn't look into it. What I'll do is I'll sit down and I'll be like, Greg, let's play some games with our new Heart of the Swarm. Sure. Fucking Viper sounds like there's so much more micro and shit. And then, like, he's getting hit with siege tanks. He's got, like, PDDs up in places he didn't think possible. All of a sudden, he's, like, attacking a base. Photon cans are shooting up. My army warps in, and he's just, like, flipping the table. And, like, I'm done! Why, Blizzard? Like, I can't wait. And I'll record the whole thing onto my new YouTube account. It'll be, like, I'll make $5 million, and then that'll be it.
That'll be the only video you ever publish.
Yeah,
that'd be golden material.
And yeah, it's crazy. So we'll have to see what happens. Additionally,
we were messing around with it a little bit, and so it's only gateway required. All you need is a gateway. You can start warping into our cans. So I was testing it, and I was playing against Natagas, and I was just doing pylon rushes around. Like, he was trying to 15 hatch. And I was just, like, building pylons around his 15 hatch, like, in a square. And then once it came in, I was just putting up arc cannons, like, on all the pylons and just killing all the drones and zerglings he sent out. You just save all your chrono energy, and then you just drop, like, 4 or 5 of them. And you know how you can, like...
How much does it cost? Like, how much energy?
That's 25.
Oh, and my God.
You what?
And you know how you can pylon block, like, behind the minerals? Yeah. Like, a normal cannon rush, right?
Yeah.
You know, you put, like, 3 pylons in position, and then you put a cannon behind it.
Yep.
So now you can just do a normal cannon rush. You block off with the 3 pylons, but then you turn the 3 pylons into cannons as well as the cannon that you warp in. So you have, like,
why
4
would you make
cannons.
A cannon?
Why not?
Because
the arc things are temporary, though. You need the cannon to finish off the hatchery.
I'll make a macro nexus. You guys didn't think of that, did you? A fucking macro nexus.
Oh, Jeff, your student...
Yeah,
it'll finally be great.
Bowman X. Credit to Bowman X.
For the macro.
I knew it all along.
Oh, that's too funny.
It's all right.
All right, let's move on to the Terran units, because I have a feeling this will take us the rest of the show to get through all this stuff. Which is okay, because I think people want to hear you guys' thoughts on it. We got the Warhound, which actually looks like the most, like, the worst manufactured robot that I've seen in quite some time.
I know, it looks so dumb.
I'm pretty sure that Johnny Five from Short Circuit was actually more advanced than this fucking Warhound. And it requires factory, smaller, faster version of the Wings of Liberty Thor, anti-mechanical. Air attack is 4 damage plus 4 to light, which seems really low. Ground attack, 10 damage plus 10 to mechanical, 7 range. The Warhound.
So, the anti-mechanical is actually really cool, because a lot of Protoss units are mechanical. It's interesting that it's not plus armored, so I'm really curious to see how the plus mechanical damage is going to play out. I think the Warhammer, or the Warhound will play a pretty solid role against Toss, and the range is really nice too. 7 range is pretty legit. They stack up quite well, and they all form a nice little firing line. They look retarded as all hell. It's like the most stupid looking Transformer ever. They should have just made them look like Optimus or something.
Wait, are you talking about the Hellions, or are you talking about the...
I'm talking about the Warhound.
Okay.
The Hellions, like the added HP is really nice, but in the gameplay video, they were trying to say that like they're trying to promote more pure mech in TVT, and like that's the reasoning behind the Hellions and the Warhound, but I don't really see that happening at all. I still think a giant mass of tanks is just going to obliterate everything on the ground.
You guys are off, by the way. The Warhound is like the most heinously copied unit from the Mech Warriors series I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's true, too. It looks like a little light, doesn't
perhaps
it?
Perhaps down to the name. It's like, it's borderline, like, they should get knocked on the door pretty soon. And then Blizzard will throw 500 lawyers at them and they'll die. They'll just drown.
We're looking it up. Oh my god.
Sorry. Yeah. The Warhound is from Mech Warrior.
Or Mech Warrior or Battletech?
I know, Poet. Pisses me off, too. Like, I think they really shouldn't be doing that. She's a big Mech Warrior player.
Is it Mech Warrior or is it Battletech?
I think Battletech is older, isn't it?
I don't know.
Mech Warrior is more my time, man.
I don't know. This unit seems kind of odd. Like, it is anti-mechanical, but because of the range, like, against siege tanks, I don't know. You have to have something to tank for it, really. Like Taylor said, it seems like siege tanks would still be great.
Yeah, look at the little gameplay video. It's like, when do you have situations like this set up? Like, David Kim's narrating this, like, this battle that they've, like, preordained. I mean, when... It's like a single-player battle. There's, like, five... There's, like, a rogue squadron of Marines on the right. Like, beta squadron on the left. Like, you never have your units all spread out like that. It doesn't work like that.
All the bio bunch for the fire.
Yeah.
You're doing it wrong, man.
They wanted the Goliath to come back so bad, but for some reason, they really didn't want to call it the Goliath. They're like, it's this unit that has this really okay ground attack, and then it's got this fantastic anti-air, and it looks like Mech Warrior. We're going to call it the Warhound.
I'm overall just like very unimpressed with a lot of the changes. Like it doesn't seem like the gameplay is really changing that much. It doesn't seem like the changes are very dynamic. It's just like they just threw in a couple random units and some abilities. It's like, how about it?
Well, since we're talking about the Warhound now, why don't we talk about the Battle Hellion, if you will. There you go. I think he actually looks very cool transformed.
Sweet.
Doesn't he? He's the closest looking thing to like a Transformer here. I think that's a cool idea. They kill their range a little bit, obviously, but transforms between battle mode and the Hellion they have. What do you guys think about this guy here? Because I actually think this is actually one of the cooler units they are coming out with.
Does it get a like a HP bonus?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, it does.
I don't know. I don't really think Hellions were kind of having a problem against Marines and Zerglings and stuff anyway, but...
Is it an upgrade, or do you make a Hellion and then the Hellion can turn into a battle
mech? You make a Hellion and then it can turn straight into a battle mech.
What? It's not It's not an upgrade?
No, it's not. Wow. You toggle between the two. It takes time.
So, reason you'd be a Hellion is because it's faster moving and it has longer range on the cone. It's like not a cone; it's a pillar, I guess.
Hellions, from what I gathered when we were playing, Hellions are still like way better for like harassing and floating around and trying to like sneak in and kill drones and stuff. But then anytime you're gonna have an actual like straight up fight, you just rotate them into battle mode, and then they're like actually kind of badass. They can take waves of Zerglings.
That's
good. I was worried because I thought Hellions were really weak against Zerglings, so I'm glad.
Me too.
Fuck, that was getting a little bit ridiculous. The Zergling counter to the Blue Flame Hellion.
I think that they keep Blue Flame as well. So like when they're in Battle Mech mode, they have Blue Flame and they just kind of
Personally, I think they should get invisible flame. They should be shooting like race car fuel shit, you know, like jet
light
fuel.
Flame.
And you can't even see it.
Shoot radiation.
Kind of like
oh,
the
wait.
Shredder.
Yep.
We'll get there in a second, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, we will get there in a second. Let's talk. Any final thoughts on this unit here? We're watching the gameplay video. We just watched the part where they're like, oh, look at how bad the Hellions are.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, but look at, we transformed them.
And added siege tanks.
And they fight. Yeah, and notice they're playing on Steps of War. Like, that's...
I know.
That's a, hey, guys, let's use
so
Steps of War as the, yeah, as the map. So there you go. Alright, well, technology is awesome, and we are back here. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for the hiccup there, but just consider that our break at the top of the hour, and the fact that apparently the Warhound is that broken. The Battle Hellion, rather. That's what we were talking about before things died. So welcome back to Inside the Game. We're talking about the new, units here. And Heart of the Swarm, and we are going to be going to the Shredder now, a unit that I know everyone is really excited to talk about because
the
you,
Shredder.
Yes, you really want to see it implemented into the game. The Shredder, anyone want to give a stab at exactly how you would explain the Shredder?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, why am I still hearing Wheat's like techno intro in the game now?
Oh, I'm sorry. It should be done now. No more.
Focus on anything.
No more. We're done now.
All right.
We're done. No more.
Shredder reason. Rivals the Protoss units, as far as I'm concerned, with ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Damage output is huge. Its radius is gargantuan. And they keep harping on how, like, well, wait a second. It doesn't work if friendly units are in range, so that's its weakness. Which is fine, because... It's literally a, like three of them are standalone, man. Like, why would you need friendly units anywhere near those things?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It looks really awesome. I bet Terran players are pretty happy.
Yeah, I think Shredders are like the one really good thing that we got. Battle Hellions seem like a decent, but I mean, it's kind of whatever.
Yeah, they're decent. They're not like overpowered or anything.
Nothing crazy. And then the Warhound. First of all, we didn't even talk about the Warhound's air attack. 4+4 to light. They're terrible. They're so bad. I think they shoot 2 missiles, though, but they're god-awful against air. So they certainly don't serve the purpose of a Goliath, really, at all. Even a Thor, I mean, Terran didn't really have a problem dealing with light air units. We have Marines. Like, we don't need, like, a big mechanical unit that owns light. We need something that can take out capital ships like the Tempest, like a Goliath, which... would have made so much sense, but anyway, it doesn't serve the purpose of a Goliath, but the Shredder is going to be amazing for, like, mech pushes, because tanks already have so much range that you can set up tanks, like, outside of the range of the Shredder, and if you're pushing a Zerg, for instance, you can have Shredders kind of, like, on the flanks just to soften up, you know, Zerg, like, Lings and Mutas and Banelings as they come in. And then the tanks in the back is where your actual push is, and you can just really slowly and methodically just work towards hatcheries and force engagements with Zergs where you have Shredders out in front. And then you can also use the Shredders to block the opposite side of the map. Like, on Metalopolis, if you're pushing down the right side with the Zelnaga, and you have, like, 3 or 4 Shredders in the pathway on the left side preventing a counterattack from the Zerg, he's going to, like... either have to run all of his units through that and lose a ton of shit, or he's going to have to deal with your main attack. So
if you guys look at the gameplay video, at about 1 minute and 11 seconds after they demonstrate the Shredder for the first time, you actually get a shot of the developers up on stage. And if you actually look at David Kim's face, he looks embarrassed. Like, this should not be seen right now. So just he's going to be right around here where my arrow's going, like right around where the Shredder is. But just look at his face, and you can tell there's a look of, like, disgust a little
bit. What the fuck did I just hear? Yeah.
It's like, he kind of laughs, and then he looks down. Yep. Like, this was not my idea, guys. Of course, Dustin's like, yeah, that's right.
Well, the Shredder is just, it's a fantastic unit. There's terrible a lot of damage from map control. Okay. It's a radioactive agent, so it's cancerous to the highest degree, right? The weird, I mean, the Zerglings are fine, I guess, but for me it was when the roaches melted.
Oh,
here.
My
it was,
God.
Like, ridiculous.
And the really,
like, we're not being very effective. Let's let the Shredders do it.
The thing is they do 20 DPS and they stack, so.
They stack? Don't stack.
Yeah,
someone said they don't stack. Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure they stack.
I don't know. Chat's going to yell at you in 5 seconds. Are we ready? Chat. Does it stack? Here we go.
Does it?
And you are fucking stupid. I hate pain user. Pain user, they don't stack.
Okay, yeah, well, apparently. We thought they stacked, but I guess not.
Do you want me to get the chat on you again, pain user? I'm one step away. Okay?
Alright. Either way, 20 DPS is pretty good.
It is a lot. Yeah. Does it hurt air units as well?
Yes.
Both
I'm
air
certain.
And
wait,
that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my
certain.
Hang on.
Yeah.
It does?
Yes, it does.
I thought we thought it stacked too. Like we were testing it and it seemed like they stacked. I don't know. Maybe they don't, but
anyways, like one can completely prevent Ling run bys like that. That's such a joke. Like or like Jeff was saying before, like using him position or Taylor using positioning with you know, pushes and stuff. It's silly. I can't see this unit making it past the beta.
Oh, it will.
Oh,
oh yes.
Could you imagine the nightmare? Like,
yeah.
It's like having a field of spider mines that you don't need to deploy.
Yeah. Again, right? That's
mineral attacks are pretty strong as well. Is what people are saying. And
soon they will implement Master Splinter. And
God.
It's just 20 damage.
There's
armor, like it's not better against armor or light or anything like that, just 20 damage.
There it is.
All that time, I don't know, it's something that keeps going like that.
Four baby turtles.
For 15 years now, we have lived here. But before that time, I was the pet of Master
Hitaki Yoshi.
Or other.
Yes. Something like that, right?
I believe you guys are drunk at 5 in the afternoon.
Whatever, man. I just, like, I got appreciation for the Ninja Turtles, man. Except for that Turtles in Time bullshit that they did and fucking put Vanilla Ice in their second movie.
Or no, it was Yoroku Saki.
Yoroku Saki?
Yeah, yeah. That was like his...
Alright, next All right. Fucking StarCraft.
Wait, you gotta go down. Okay, Terran. There's some other changes. Battlecruiser Sprint type ability called Red Line Reactor. Fire it up, boss! Make the son of a bitch go faster! Yeah.
Wait, are you serious?
Give it an awesome shot.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
The Battlecruiser will get a sprint type ability called Red Line Reactor.
Who's getting it?
The Battlecruiser.
Oh, that's what's up, dude.
Looks like you didn't experiment as much as you should have.
I'm all for that.
Yep.
And then we get this, like, giant, like, fat Double Thor on that. I don't see the benefit of that at all. It's
double.
Like
So Reaper loses building attack. I'm okay with that. Reaper gains the HP recovery skill. I kind of think that's actually kind of cool.
Whatever. Yeah. They're still not going to make Reapers, so.
Well, no. Think about early game harass against Zerg if the Reaper can actually heal. Like before Lings get speed and
it's probably like shield generation, right? Where they're out of combat and it'll slowly go
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow, that's pretty gay.
That seems like it would be really good early game harassment.
Yeah.
Like you could hold the towers. Because the problem with Reapers is they're so weak. Like the queen hits and like a few Zergling hits here and there accumulate, and then eventually it just dies when you try and go back in. But if you can like go in, kill a bunch of Lings, kill a few drones, leave, and then come back with like two or maybe three, and then just like keep repeating that, I think they'd have like a pretty viable early game window against Zerg before speed came out.
Well, yeah, because nothing touches them before speed.
Yeah.
Like the queen doesn't have range on it. Well, it doesn't have, like, you can actually hit queens without being hit, right?
I think they get like one shot. I think they have equal.
Yeah. And so, like, if you, obviously, if you, like,
you can kite them.
Yeah, you can just keep kiting him and keep kiting him. And even if you do get, like, tickled by a queen, you just run back for, like, a second heal and then come back and finish the queen off. I don't know. That I didn't know about that, but that seems pretty strong. I don't want to say broken yet, but...
We'll have to see how much it actually regens and stuff. Ghost Cloak is now time-based and costs a set amount of energy. So you're no longer consuming energy, which, you know, I'm actually okay to see how that will play out.
We kind of tested it as well, and it's actually, like, a pretty decent buff. It's actually, like, a really decent buff. The amount of energy...
You just needed a buff.
The amount of energy
I know, right?
To activate it is, like, versus how much energy it would have costed previously to maintain a cloak. It's not even close. So, like, you can cloak, and it has a pretty good duration, and then you can just, like, snipe from cloak, and the energy cost associated isn't even close to what it would normally be. It's awesome. It's like really, really.
That's good.
I don't know about this store change. Like, it's like I don't understand. It's like two Thor.
You can't talk about a buff of ghosts and then just immediately move to the giant Thor, the double down Thor.
The double
down Thor. Listen, I like that.
Can we talk about the ghost getting a buff real quick?
Sure.
Talk about it.
Well, hang on. Let me gauge this. See if the chat's yelling at you, if it's an actual buff. I can't trust you right now. And let's see.
I seem fine with it.
You're not getting yelled at.
It's a buff when ghost users want to use their energy not for cloak automatically, right? Technically.
Yeah, which sounds great, Wheat, because they use EMP and snipe pretty good.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just more efficient than normal cloaking.
They're not really yelling at you. There's a couple people trying to make loud noises. Then there's just some people who want to post. I don't know what to say. It's a little bit silly.
They're also being provoked.
I wonder where that change dawned on them. Like, unanimously, across the board, everyone thinks Terran, to a certain extent, could be the best race. To varying degrees. Some like, you know, Nestie would slap you in the face and say, of course they're the best. And then other people would say it differently. But, I think one of the root problems with Terran being so good is everyone kind of agrees the Ghost is a phenomenal super weapon unit. What the hell are they thinking to give it a buff?
I don't know.
Nobody knows?
Nope.
Machine?
I couldn't tell you why they haven't been nerfed already. Seriously.
People are going, EMP is nerfed. Fantastic, guys.
Have you ever seen Sniper?
Sounds like
Rizzles?
They got it half right.
8.5 yards.
And nerf something at the same time that's completely awesome.
And how about that Thor? You know?
I actually haven't seen it. Taylor, have you seen like Bombardment or whatever? That sounds pretty fucking broken.
It's nothing crazy. And they can't attack air.
You can only make one, too.
And you can only make one. And it's like double the cost. The only like real benefit I see is that it takes a lot less space than two Thors, but
what's
so,
the
like,
barrage
I,
thing? What's the barrage thing that it does? That huge like orbital attack or whatever?
Just like nukes in front of itself. Like a 1 second delay. That'd be awesome.
Hey, what is it actually outside of Machine's imagination land?
Bombardment.
Yeah.
Nada told me it's like a crappy like what it had before. Sort of. It like shoots long range, but has a huge deploy time. I'm not sure exactly.
AOE,
so it's got
yeah,
AOE,
I think
AOE,
I think
you
can have buildings as well. Yeah, it's like AOE too.
And of course,
so I guess you could. I guess you could do that on like a static defense type situation, or like an army that's not moving. But I think it has a pretty solid setup time. It has like a 2 or 3 second time before it even starts like the animation. And then it has like an animation
like a little,
on top of
in
that.
In amazing WoW fashion, like a little casting bar comes up and like starts like something like that. And you can only have one of those guys out at a time.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love that.
You can only have one. And I don't know, it seems kind of weird. It seems like they're really going for this like big like epic
super weapon
late game super weapon type stuff. Like battlecruisers with sprint are going to be awesome, and then you know who's not going to get you know, the Gigantor Thor that does, like, double damage to ground and has bombardment.
The Double Down Thor, I think we should call it that.
Yeah,
the Double Down Thor. Thor. All right.
See, here's my thing. Like, with the whole, like, only being able to make one Thor, you know, the only thing we can really compare that to is, like, the Mothership. The Mothership had a purpose with, like, you know, working with a big army. Like, I don't know that the Thor really...
Oh, this has a purpose.
Yeah? Like...
It's badass.
Intimidation.
It's like, you're just like, fuck. He's got a fucking Thor. Get the Thor out of here.
All the noobs are just gonna rush straight to Fusion Core and make a Thor.
Dad, get in here! I made the Double Down Thor as seen on Inside the Game! Ah, son, it's fantastic!
Yeah, it has a big orbital attack.
You make me so proud when you make the bigger one, son.
Aw, thanks, Dad.
It has 800 HP?
It should.
Okay, never mind. It serves a purpose.
Yeah,
and its surface area is its surface area is so big that you could like you could probably get like 25 to 30 SCVs around it. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, which is 25 to 30.
But there's gonna be the Double Down Thor rush coming at people soon.
With
you
30
watch.
SCVs. Yep.
I mean, you do need a fusion core to get it. So
yeah.
I mean,
no!
It'll be
even worse in 2v2 when also arc cannons start going down then, and it's just a whole clusterfuck of shit going on.
I think the Double Down Thor should be able to step on shit and kill it too.
Zerg
the more I think about
like,
it. And then they can just call it the Godzilla.
Idea. Fuck that idea. Alright, we ready to talk about the Zerg units now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna literally go up to the hour on this. So, okay, Zerg, we got the Viper. Quite possibly, I think we can all agree that we can vote this as probably the worst name for a Zerg unit that I think could be fucking thought of.
The Viper?
What? I'm pretty sure the Battle Hellion is a little bit less original.
I don't
than
know.
The Viper.
Like, I'm not, when I say, when someone's like, dude, the Viper, right? I'm not thinking of an air unit at all.
Think of the Dodge Viper.
Badass. I don't actually like the name either. I don't know.
Thank
it doesn't seem
Shane.
Zergy.
Thank you.
It should have added a Lisk at the end. The
yes,
Lisk.
It needed a Lisk.
Viper Lisk.
The Air Lisk.
The Copperhead
I'd like to
introduce
to you guys the Vip Lisk. Okay. Basic design is it's kind of like a dragonfly sort of
thing.
It's got these two big arms though that it uses to propel itself forward in the air like a quadriplegic swimmer.
Quadriplegic?
It's got, it requires flare tech.
What is it?
Paraplegic.
It apparently replaces the Overseer. It has three spells, Abduct, Ocular Parasite, and Blinding Cloud.
It's really good.
Yeah. Even as a Zerg player, like, I gotta say, like, especially the Abduct, it seems so broken.
Yeah.
Like, being able to just, like, make six Vipers, go ahead, just decide to grab all of their Colossus, kill them, and then engage the army, that's dumb. Like,
no problem.
It has ridiculously long range, too.
I know. There's no risk to it either way. Like, it's just broken.
It should scream, get over here, and then Han should blast across the screen when it does that,
too. You just wait until the Viper-Baneling combo hits, where you're, like, burrowing all these units right there, and then you're pulling them and exploding the Bane. Actually, it would probably never happen.
Get over here!
It seems like such a cool utility.
Ultimate combo!
Combo! All right. Well, I like the Blinding Cloud. I'm totally down with that. We just saw an example of that right there.
Yeah.
Blinding Cloud. It kills the range, right? Yeah, range to one. Which makes it totally awesome.
So I think that'll be really good against like mech. Terran are gonna have to stick with like highly mobile units like Bio and the Battle Hellion and stuff. If you group up tanks. Or that Megathor thing, and you get pooped on with the green stuff. It's not going to be good.
I want to see it grab a Megathor, and then the Megathor laughs as it's being dragged across the screen, and then starts to open a can of whoop-ass in the middle of the fight. He, like, misclicks and hits the giant Double Down Thor, and it's like, you know, goof, son!
I think the double down Thorn is like 60 a shot. Because it's 60 times two or something.
That's ridiculous.
It should.
One thing I don't like about the Viper, like, because it replaces the Overseer, I don't know, it's expensive, so, like, there's a lot of tech routes, I think, that would kind of, like, screw Zerg over. Like, namely, like, let's say, because, like, you can't make an Overseer for 50 gas, you're forced to, like, open Viper against, like, DT, right? And then they just, like, transition to, like, an Archon charge lot timing, and you have all these, like, useless Vipers that are going to, like, pull charge lots that are running at you.
Well,
like,
you just need one Viper, though, and then you can make other units detectors.
But does the Viper require, like, a tech structure?
No, just layer.
Just layer. Okay, no,
so, like, you just make one Viper, and then you are ocular parasite, like, some overlords, or, like, whatever you want. Ling. A larva. That's your hatchery.
That is pretty awesome, I think.
What, the ocular parasite?
Yeah,
I think it's pretty cool. That gives...
Especially when you consider, like, anything you burrow, if you just, like, make it a permanent detector, burrow it, like, that seems pretty...
Speaking of burrowed shit...
Yes, well, let's do Swarm Host first. Yeah, let's do Swarm Host. Wait, wasn't there a third unit? No, there wasn't.
Nah,
just okay. Two.
We've also got, then, Swarm Host...
Be careful when you show the Swarm Host suite. There is an actual condition where if people see symmetrical holes in things, they freak out. You
really?
Just showed it. Son of a bitch.
I didn't. I showed it.
Inside the Game fans that suffer from that phobia are now...
Oh my god!
They're tweeting you! You're getting tweets right now from a disorganized screen.
Infestation pit gross. Requirement does not require burrow to burrow. And it spawns two locusts, 110 HP, 14.
It actually spawns four.
Oh, four. This is wrong then. About every 24 game seconds while burrowed. Let's watch this.
What do you mean it spawns four? What do you.
Or wait, no.
Everyone says two. Yeah,
it spawns two.
I don't want the chat to yell at you anymore, Pinions. You've had enough.
No, it spawns two.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this? I actually don't really like it. I don't think it's that good.
I think they're really good.
Are you serious? Well, alright, let's just look at, like, the application of it, right? Like, what are you going to do with all these, like, useless, like, two broodlings? Like,
dude, they're not, like, broodlings at all, man. They have 110 HP and they hit for 14 apiece.
Yeah, just like every other Zerg unit, they die after, like, 10 seconds.
Right, so 110 health.
They're really
good. Yeah, okay, so, you go these, like, swarm hosts, right, to, like... maybe engage, like, a siege tank push or something. And so you tech up to, like, infestation pit, throw all this money into that, when you could just grab, like, a handful of Zerglings that would do, like, the same thing. Like, I don't like it.
I like it when someone makes the comparison and just say they have more hit points than a Hydra. You know, I think that says a lot there.
They're super beefy. And
from
you
what
can,
I
like,
understand.
You can, like, run them around the map and burrow them near expansions and then rally into the mineral line, and they just, like, continually send little swarms of locusts into the mineral line, and I don't know, they seem really, really good. You could burrow a couple of them into, like, the Terran production line, and then all of a sudden you have locusts just spawning all over your base, killing depots and SCVs and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be, like, they're not going to revolutionize the Zerg swarm. I think they're going to be used as a harass unit.
Yeah.
And I don't think the locust takes up any supply. They produce infinite numbers. Do we know if the locusts are on cooldown? Like, do they eventually commit suicide or die? They do.
No, it auto spawns them while burrowed every time they cool down.
No. My question is, does the locust itself, once produced,
24 seconds?
Oh, it's 24 seconds. Okay. Otherwise, you could create, like, a secret army of locusts. It'd be sweet.
Yeah.
The game was almost lost until I revealed I have 1,000 locusts!
Oh, God, that would actually be hilarious.
I'd love it.
All right, so there's definitely, and ironically, everyone else gets 3 units. Zerg, for their expansion, gets 2, at least that we know of. But
when we already had less units to begin with.
I know. The Hydra speed increased by 50%. Apparently, this will be a Hive Tech upgrade. I like that. I'm definitely down. Love burrowed banelings moving.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yep, think that's the best thing that they announced all weekend at
BlizzCon. Not really, man. The Ultra Burrow Charge is insane.
Well, that's Ultras have a Burrow-like charge ability called Burrow Assault. No research.
AKA Dustin Browder watched Stormtroopers over the weekend before and was like, Jesus. Have you guys seen that giant one that shoots the fire?
Honestly, like, it not only does the Ultra burrow underground and teleport, like, 4 inches, it pops up in the middle of, like, a Terran or Protoss ball, and it knockbacks all the units around it, and they don't fire or move or do anything, like while they're stunts. In the air. And so it's sort of like a pseudo-stun. Like, they don't attack, they don't do anything.
Well, the animation where they're flying is, like, instantaneous almost, so it's not that big of a deal.
I mean...
It sounds like another Han ability. You got the meat hook or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Stun from the big beefy unit. Conspiracy?
It's kind of like Impale, I guess, or, like, Burrow Strike.
Do you target the Burrow? Like, do you...
Yeah.
When they click on something and he does it, he leaps at him?
Yeah, they Burrow... So temporarily, stuff stops shooting at them. Oh, maybe they are being shot at. Interesting. I don't know.
One more time.
What? Watching it?
See the Marines fly up.
See, it's like instantaneous.
No, they land gracefully, though. That's the good part.
And it doesn't kill them.
Whoa! And then they land on the ground. Okay.
There you go.
I mean, it does a little damage, but...
Heart of the Hon.
It's good, man. It's good. It really, like, negates a lot of the immobility issues with the Ultralisk, and also, like, you know, that is, like, the biggest problem with the Ultra, right? If it's getting funneled into a choke, if you're trying to break through static D, and there's buildings, like, preventing it from moving, you can really, like, just get in there and mess shit up.
That'd be awesome if they could burrow under buildings.
I wouldn't be surprised if they could.
And then we'll go back. So Corruptors no longer have the Corruption ability, and the Corruption now have a channeled ability, Siphon, that does 1 DPS and converts damage done to minerals.
What?
That's cute.
It's amazing. Think think about the whole map getting mined out.
And Corruptors.
Those old bases you left behind, Zerg's now sucking them dry.
Yeah,
for hundreds of minerals.
I suppose. What do you guys sell of those Zerg changes, Machine? Going
did we
you?
Even talk about the Hydra speed? I don't think we did.
Yeah,
we?
I mentioned it, but I kind of like just went through it thinking that...
Yeah, because it's a joke. Because no one's going to tech the Hive to have really fast Hydralisks that just run into an army and die anyway.
Yeah, but...
Are you kidding me? Spend the money on, like, you know, Ultralisks or Broodlords or something. I really
don't know, man. I don't know, dude. I... Completely disagree. I think Hydras are will be really good. Hydras on creep are badass, and if they move at the same speed off creep, like in the late game, they're a super cost effective unit. It's not even about like when you get them, it's about them just like, I don't know, think about it this way. I guess they're like more on the lines of a Marine, and Marines still kick ass with good upgrades late game. It's not like you stop making the low tier units in the late game, they're really good with upgrades. I think 3-3 Hydras with that kind of speed would be like...
Like Hydra Ultra, but you wouldn't rush straight to Hive for only Hydra.
No. Not at all, but Hydras might actually, like... You might actually, like see
build
the face of a Hydra.
Really? Oh my gosh. Thing. It's like Christmas. It's
I do feel like Idra would probably have just said the same thing, though.
Yeah.
So,
this stuff is horrible.
Imagine back in bed.
Like, Hive is so far away.
If you can live long enough to get to Hive.
Alright, final thoughts, guys, on some of the changes. Obviously, yeah, these are going to change over time, but
we're very critical, but I think at the end of the day, we need to test it out and see what's up. And also, I have faith that Blizzard will continue to work on these things and change them up, right? Like, if they were to go in as is, I think we'd all agree it'd be a pretty ridiculous game. And
hopefully that's Blizzard not
gonna
change.
Yeah.
There's no way that's going to happen.
I have faith in DBs, Dustin Browders. And David Kim.
At least someone does.
Little DK, little DB. I think those guys are working hard. Hopefully they watch some more movies, some balanced movies.
Oh, so hopefully they do watch a few.
Starship Troopers 3.
We don't have that much time left, so would you guys like to just take some phone calls? Would you like to talk about some of the events that just happened?
Let's do phone calls. We can do phone calls.
All right, let's do a few phone calls then.
Involve the community. They want to talk about these units. I've been getting asked all week.
All right, let's go ahead and just open up the phones then. We will... you can Skype us at DJ Weed or telephone 909-581-8519. And we will see what we come up with here. We've got a first caller. We got Sepical, who has a picture. I actually have to bring this up because it's hilarious. He's got a picture of Strelok in a Starship Enterprise.
Oh, God, I have to see this.
And it says, Strelok doesn't give a fuck. And it actually, it's quite good. So.
Dude, he literally doesn't, man. Strelok looks like a European porn star, man.
He does, all time.
He rolls around with, like, the three unbuttoned, like, lace-up dress shirt with, like, cowboy boots.
Yeah,
like, ass-tight jeans. It's like, dude.
Yep.
What is going on? He's just so confident. He just walks around like...
What is up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Not much, man. I have a question about the Thor. I know it's kind of silly, but does it still fit in the medevac?
Good question.
Yeah, but now instead of just like tucking up and not moving, it tucks up and its legs just kick the whole time.
Put me down. You see, thanks to the new physics engine, you actually see the medevac like dip a little bit in back into the atmosphere.
Kind of just like,
if you try to go up cliffs, it will bang the Thor and take off 150 HP right there.
It's like you hit drop in like the Zerg main and it actually like drops at the third. And you just like can't control where it goes. It crash lands somewhere.
But I don't know. I take it you didn't try that, Pain User.
No, I did not try and pick up the Ultra Mega Ridiculous Double Down Thor.
Double Down Thor.
In a medevac.
Awesome.
It just didn't occur to me.
Well, I'm glad, because I play Zerg, and that would suck.
Yeah, that would suck.
How cool would that be? Like, one-shotting queens? Just like... be like, Beta, baby. Remember?
Yes.
Remember those days?
It's like... dropping in, killing queen, picking up, LOL. Only this
time
they
dropped it. They did to Protoss, too. They would, like, what are they, two-hit stalkers, three-hit stalkers, two-hit zealots?
Nasty
man,
stuff.
Fuck sentries on the ramp. I mean, just add shredders in that, put shredders on the ramp, and just blast hatcheries.
Oh, man, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, that'd be great. One base shredder.
But where do the Marauders fit in that strategy? Come back to me when you've developed that some more, okay? I mean, come on.
The Marauders stand outside of range of the Shredders. And get
now
on
we're
both
cooking.
Sides. And it's like a Shredder sandwich with Marauders
go.
As the bread.
Shredwich.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Sepical.
No problem. Thank you.
Take care. Peace. Strelok doesn't give a fuck.
I love that.
Let's take a caller here. We got area code 314. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, I've got a question geared towards Machine.
Okay.
He's a Zerg player. As far as macro hatches are concerned, do you tend to, like, is it something, a pre-planned thing you have before the game, like, I'm going to make a macro hatch this game, or is it sort of like a response to something, like, I'm floating minerals, or...
A lot of builds, like, do have pre-planned macro hatcheries, and you'll notice, like, especially, like, ZVT, ZVP... you're almost always going to have a pre-planned macro hatch that goes down like right before you take a third, just because as long as you're like staying on top of your injects and have the correct amount of drones, you shouldn't be able to have enough larva to spend off of like a fully saturated two bases. You should have, you know, you have to have another hatchery, especially ZVT, because you're always so like ling heavy, and Zerglings are like obviously a lot less larva efficient, like because they're cheaper per larva than something like Roach that you'd use ZVP. So, but yeah, you should be pre-planning to use macro hatcheries right before you secure third base.
All right, I need to work on that, but yeah, thanks for answering the call. Love the show.
Yeah, man, no
problem. Thanks, sir.
Take care.
Word. All right. There we go. Gone. All right, let's take another caller here. This time we've got area code 419. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, I got a quick question for the Zerg players here. What do you guys think about the Banelings being able to move while burrowed?
I think it's the greatest fucking thing ever.
It's completely broken. Like,
what? Everything you've said, Machine, is that it's completely... Dude, you're supposed to be like...
No, because I know this shit. You gotta trust me. But anyways, like, imagine, like, okay, it's like a cloaked... Okay, and I'm a Zerg player, so, like, I should want them to keep this, but it is broken. Like, imagine, like, DTs that can run around doing, like, cloaked AoE everywhere. Like, it's a joke. Like, late game would be so dumb for, like, especially Terran, but even, like, Terran Protoss players,
sort of
when they're just running around,
yeah,
sneak attacking just right over, or, you know, army, like, you know, blow up bio, mineral lines, like, everything, you name it. Like, it's completely broken.
Whoa.
That sounds totally awesome to me, I think.
You might be able to use shredders, eh?
Well, yeah, but then what is Protoss going to do?
Get some.
Who cares?
Cannons everywhere, does, maybe?
Man, they're fucking probes are going to be screaming for their lives, Machine.
And then, Bryce, keep in mind, they can just select all their nexuses. I think it's G. And then just click on all the pylons and assimilators and everything at their base. And then just, like, run away with all their probes. And then it just blows up everything. Like, we tested that a few times. If you have, like, four nexuses with full energy and a Zerg just, like, throws a huge wave of stuff at you, all you need is, like, four sentries, you just, like, drop force fields around, block your buildings off, and then you spam G and, like, click on all the buildings, and you instantly have, like, 15 to 20 photon cannons. It's like, what? And they last for, what, 15, 20 seconds? It's madness.
So you're saying we need the burrowed banelings.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's going to be ways to deal with them, I think. It's not going to be,
well,
like...
I mean, that's, like, that's if they keep the arc shield, which they definitely should not. If there's one thing that's fucking broken,
yeah,
as all this, it's arc shield, so...
Caller,
I mean, we can't really count on them to rely on that.
What do you think? Would you like Bryce to shut the hell up so that they put burrowed banelings in the game, or do you agree that they are already broken? Caller, no.
He's done with you, Weed.
He's like,
yeah.
Man.
You're not cool enough, man.
Apparently it's broken, dude. It is broken.
I mean, obviously, as a Zerg player, I'd love to keep it, but it's broken. It's dumb.
All right. Good guy Zerg player over here, Bryce.
Yep.
Machine Bates. Yep. Yeah.
I should be Greg, like, no, it's actually fucking underpowered. They should be like mini nukes that go off underneath the ground.
Only if they're twice as fast as when they have the centrifugal hooks, then it'll be okay.
I thought banelings were radioactive. They should leave radioactive waste that burns everything that walks in their path.
The area is completely unusable for the remainder of the game. Thank you very much. We're going to take our next caller. We've got Ollie on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Yeah, hello. I am a Protoss player. I have a question for E-Control.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Shoot.
Go ahead.
Your voice is really
keep
bad,
getting
dude.
Six pool in my base.
All right. If you can't keep a straight face,
welcome to the show, Combat.
If you can't keep
a straight
face, does
that sound like Combat X? Seriously,
it's either it's Combat or it's one of the wannabes.
Oh,
they
couldn't
even tell
because
you can hear his spine not being there.
I don't know. I thought it was when he was like, and
control my excitement. I finally reached the show.
I was like. Southeast Asia, Indian? No.
No.
Like, wait.
It was Insta. You don't know that? You can't recognize that right away?
773, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello?
Yes, hello. What's your question?
Hi, yeah. I had two questions. One of them's kind of a joke question. The first one's just from a campaign user is Banshee versus Dark Templar.
What about it?
sorry. In all honesty, it's more of a question for Bryce. I know how we were talking about the Zerg units being a little bit lackluster. What kind of change would he actually want to see in Heart of the Swarm actually for Zerg then?
Yeah, what's not broken, Bryce?
Lurkers. They need to bring back lurkers. We need something that controls, like some sort of, like, a siege unit. Like, the idea of, like, the Swarm Lord's kind of cool. But I'm just not convinced that that's going to be enough. Like, I'd like to have a lurker. I love lurkers. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, lurkers are awesome, man. Spider mines, lurkers, reavers, bring them all back.
It's more like, I don't know, it's not so much that I'm unhappy with the changes to Zerg, it's more like I'm unhappy seeing it, the buffs that Terran and Protoss are getting compared with what Zerg is getting. Like, it's definitely a little skewed, in my opinion, right now.
I don't know, dude.
Well, thank you for your call, 773.
Swarm hosts are pretty badass, man. Dude, those little, like, locusts that they make are surprisingly beefy, dude. It's impressive. Okay. 110 right. HP, 14 damage.
We gotta try them out. We'll see.
Yeah, badass, man.
We'll see.
All right, let's
How many
take
supply are there?
Steven.
We got zero supply, Bryce.
I think they're free. The swarm host itself.
Swarm host. Yeah. No, that's zero supply, too.
Hello?
Hello, Steven. Welcome to Tiger Game.
I was wondering what you guys thought about the BlizzCon Invitational and them not showing a single Nestea game till the finals.
I'll tell you what I think about that. I think it's dumb as hell. But let me give you my explanation for what I think they did wrong. Right. Now, Blizzard, in an effort to make it a fine production, typically hires production companies that don't have very much understanding of the actual games themselves. I believe that they did not take the criticism of the people there, of even the broadcasters, because there's no way that Nick or Dan or Day 9 or JP were saying, let's put on this totally random ZVZ instead of Nestea versus Naniwa. There's no fucking way that was happening. So I believe that the decisions, because probably of time frames, because probably of other things going on throughout the convention, that they made those decisions. And that was the wrong people to have making those types of decisions. And I think that was a severe lack of thought on that one. And I think it really sucked ass.
Blizzard not taking criticism. Who would have thought?
Yeah. But I think it was more the production company. I think the Blizzard, you know,
right.
I mean, like, in all fairness, as much as I agree in a lot of cases, in all fairness, like, it was probably up. And I'm not sure if the Hunt Group did it again. They're the guys that have done it the last few years. Hunt Group, BlizzCon, we'll check. But I would say that they are the probably the reason why it happened.
Well, thank you very much, and I'd just like to say I'm a big fan, and thank you for doing the show every week, and I'd like to thank SteelSeries and Sixfold Gaming. Also,
thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate that. Have a good
thank
one.
You.
Take care. All right. Did you guys have any thoughts on that? I didn't mean to, like, take all that. So.
No, dude. I mean, you handled
That's
it.
The answer. Production.
Gloriously.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the debates you'll have, and I need you to be the champion of it, because you've got the most experienced opinion of this, is StarCraft II and TV, man. I mean, it was a stream. It wasn't TV. Or actually, it might have been on a channel, right? Did that pass?
Yeah, yeah.
You did that for previous BlizzCons. But anyways, that's one of the issues. And you should be the guy to talk about that.
Apparently, there we go. I was trying to see if maybe they had anything up on their site, but I don't really see anything. But yeah, Hunt Group. I think it was them. Sorry, Shane, over there at Hunt Group. Let's take another one. One more? Yeah, one more, and then we'll have to shut it down. And you know what that means. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Goat Lust, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up, buddy?
Oh, yeah, not a whole lot.
Hello?
What about you guys?
I'm awesome. What about you guys?
Good, how are you doing?
Good.
Oh, yeah, pretty good. Yeah, Jeff, mate, I noticed when you called in on Live on 3 the other week, you said that I played it up a bit with my accent.
Oh, yeah?
I just have to tell you, I kind of play it down a bit because I make an effort to actually not say the C word on here because I know you American gents, you don't really appreciate it. So,
Goatless, do me a favor then for this call, don't play it down. I want to see the full Australian come out. I want you to go full Australian. Can you do that for me?
All right. look, I guess. Like, I just talk like I talk, alright?
Okay.
Alright. Like so, yeah. Alright, my question this week is, you know, about the new expansion and the tournaments that are going to be coming out, you know, during the fucking beta. We've got a fucking tournament every month, like every fucking weekend these days. Do you think they're going to slow up, like, when the beta's going? What do you think's going to be happening with people playing Wings of Liberty and people playing fucking Heart of the Swarm? And what do you think? Is there going to be that sort of... are we going to have this shit period as well at the start of Heart of the Swarm? Do you think that's, like, unavoidable where we've got, like, fucking robbery with that fucking Five Racks Reaper final?
This is a good question, actually.
What is the question?
The question is basically... During the transition from Wings of Liberty to Heart of the Swarm, and they have said that they are going to somehow be updating both of them at the same time and giving the tournaments the options on which one they want to run. Well, first and foremost, I think it'd be silly for the esports community to try to hold up with a legacy game. But I could see that maybe for novelty reasons, people would want to bring it back. But I guess I would kind of take from it is, where do you guys see the transition happening and how quickly? Like, do you think that once beta hits, like, that's it? Start doing it in beta?
It'll be rigid and brutal, I can't imagine any tournament during the beta of Heart of the Swarm running a Wings of Liberty tournament. And I'm talking about all the way up to MLG. I think every single tournament will just say, yeah, it's a Heart of the Swarm tournament. That's the new game, even in the beta form. I mean, it'll be weird. It'll be kind of returning to that what we experienced a year ago, where, like, all plans are kind of staticky because eventually you have to come across the reality where a tournament can get shut the fuck down because they're like, nope, we're patching today. So just hopefully major tournaments like MLGs, ESLs, IEMs, whatever, everything, IPL, they can organize with Blizzard and say, hey, here's when we're planning on running our event. Can we talk to you about what we can expect? And hopefully Blizzard works with them on that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Events have tried. I think we tried with IPL, and I think other events have tried as well, but it's just like, I don't think they're very concerned with it. Or the departments are separate, I've been told. Like esports and the Battle.net server operators or whatever, the guys who do the updates. And they just, like, don't communicate on anything. So that's why that happens from time to time.
It'd be a pretty ugly period of time, I would think, if people are, like, 2 months deep into the beta for Heart of the Swarm and we're playing a Wings of Liberty tournament where practice is all fucked up. Everyone's talking about Heart of the Swarm. It's literally the most talked about thing. And we're playing a Wings of Liberty tournament. Like, that like, as far as I'm concerned, that butchers the PR for a tournament. Like, why would MLG, hypothetically, in 2012, run a $40,000 tournament when everything that everyone's going to be talking about is, yeah, I did pretty good, but you know I've been training Heart of the Swarm, so I don't really give a shit about this tournament, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine tournaments going through that.
Tell you one thing, everybody's going to be killing their mother and cutting off their right arm for a beta key if it converts right off the bat.
Well, I think they
Which it probably will.
They need to. I don't think they can afford to not have a very, very large audience for the beta. In the same way with Wings of Liberty. I mean, if you were to cut that audience in half even, would they have gotten the data they needed to get it where it needed to be for release? You know, I don't know. I think that's going to be ultra important to them. So I see it being another large scale beta once again. I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be the same type of deal. And all the tournaments are probably going to convert as well. And, you know, I think stuff like the Five Racks Reaper is fucking awesome. It wasn't necessarily a robbery. It's super innovative. Nobody knew about it.
Oh, come
on,
mate.
It was a build that he built himself.
Don't lie.
No, he didn't. LZ Gamer did.
Banshees.
Gotta give him that.
I guess LZ Gamer was doing it before him. That is kind of true, but he never really did anything big with it, I guess. He definitely did start doing that early on, though. And then Moro, you know, kind of, like, perfected it and got it down to a science and learned how to, like, kite properly and I don't know. I think things like that are necessary during the beta. It forced some patchwork immediately after. So, I don't know. There's a huge uproar, and the community gets behind it, and that's how changes are implemented. But I think for the time, it's really cool. I mean, I'm sure it was cool for Moro to be the guy that used that. I'm sure he doesn't like being perceived as a villain for it. I mean, you know, he just did his thing.
And yeah, exactly. Win. It's just part of it. Like, it's necessary. It has to be done. Like, people are going to find the flaws in the game eventually, and so, like, it's just unfortunate when it happens in, like, a huge tournament, but, you know, like, it's got to happen. Who's going to be like, oh, actually, you know, I'm going to try and win this legitimately. 20 grand? Nah. My pride's on the line. No, they're just going to fucking kill him, like, with whatever they can. So, it's just part of it.
All right. Goatless, thank you very much, sir, for your call, as always. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, gents. Honor as always.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Peace Take out. Care, man.
All right, we got to wrap up now, guys. So
when they say honor, as always.
Honor as always, man.
Love it.
It was honor. It's implied, man. I knew what he meant.
It's pretty awesome to think that in just a few short days, I'll be kicking it with probably all three of you guys.
Yep.
Some way, shape, or form. As this weekend is the Evil Geniuses Masters Cup. I'll be casting it with Pain User down in the official studios. We'll be stopping by the EG household to play some Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
And get smashed.
Wait.
No, what? I meant the video game.
Oh, okay. What?
It's like, ha, ha, ha.
What, Jeff? The final boss is coming, man.
I don't know. I felt really good about talking smack to Sir Scoots because it was a sure thing to beat him. A little bit intimidated about you. We're going to have to find a fallback game that I can just... Gears of War, perhaps.
Oh, sure.
Oh, we gotta finish that. That's such a sick game.
Just don't say StarCraft 2. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Gears multiplayer is tough.
Yeah, I agree. Tough as well.
So guys, it's all about Horde, dude.
Saturday Gears and Sunday, tune into the Evil Geniuses Masters Cup. Top four teams battling it out. EG is playing in it. Who else we got? Millennium.
Oh, and Masters Cup?
Yeah.
Yep.
Millennium? Are they in there?
Are they?
No.
I forget.
No.
Mouse, right?
I don't know. It is Mouse.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
EG. Fnatic.
Fnatic, yeah.
EG. And the team that Mouse is playing is Empire, ladies and gents. M to the P.
There you go.
To the N to the P to the I to the R to the E.
Why did they
Empire.
Think Millennium was in there? They were in last
EG is
season,
facing off with Fnatic as we speak. And then Mouz has done battle with Empire, and the winners will face each other, and then there will be a third-place match, if I'm not mistaken. And it'll be cast by some fine individuals, Mr. Wheat, with his newly shaved head. Cat will not be in tow, so Wheat will not have his sidekick with him. And do we know who the other caster is yet? Have we announced that, or is that going to be like this big thing with pictures and shit?
You don't know who the other caster is?
I don't know if we've announced it, why I don't want to say.
Oh, it's Pain User.
Boom! Pain User!
I thought it was announced.
You guys ready for your cast nickname?
If
are you ready?
What? Ready
Twin
for,
Towers.
Ready for what?
I like it.
Two tallest commentators in esports have joined forces.
Twin Towers.
To look down on everybody and tell them about StarCraft.
Awesome.
Double entendre.
From our news.
Let's do shout-outs, Pain User. Let's start with you.
Oh, God. Why do we always start with me?
Well, all right. Jeff, let's start with you.
As always, I want to thank my team, Evil Geniuses. We are having some really exciting news coming out. The hoodie is out there. A lot of people have been asking me about that, so go to splitreason.com/EG. You can order that. There's a beanie there as well. Some player shirts, Release the Kraken. And then the Wong Factor for our fighting game fans out there. And there will be more to be added, as well as EG paraphernalia as well. Our sponsors, Intel, Monster, Kingston, HyperX, and SteelSeries. But also, we want to give a warm welcome to Beyond Gaming, who has recently powered the Lair itself. So we're going to have some awesome new upgrades going on there to make exciting for the people. The everyday man out there. The full force of EG should be at Providence, so do please come say hi. It's only a couple weeks away, which is really weird to talk about. I'm in like a tournament haze right now. I feel like we just got out of one, and we're coming up on the next one. I will be casting at the TESPA tournament, at the University of Texas, where they hook horns and they play good football. I'm really excited about that. I haven't cast in a while, except for when I cast DJ Wheat for Masters Cup. So please do come say hi if you're in the area, or tune in and see some amazing casting and stuff like that. And then I do want to say that I did welcome a new member to my family, Barris in the Bold, in all caps. His name will legally be in all caps.
Yep.
Barris in the Bold.
And he's going to have a whole bunch of other names. That's his actual name, but his name will be like the Stormborn, Guardian of Everything Good. Winston Churchill will probably make an appearance somewhere in his name. And then some reference
is
to...
Is the video
food.
Up?
What's that?
Is there a video?
Is the video up, Anna? Anna.
I think the video
is up. She's on a business meeting. I can't yell at her.
Oh.
The video's not up. It will be up, though. It was having some problems. We were tweeting it, but it's, like, denying everyone access, so...
Uh-oh.
Wait. No, Anna's just tweeting from my Twitter something.
Okay.
Anyways, it'll be up there, so check my Twitter, which is EG in Control. If anyone's not following that, please do. And, I love turtles. Or I like
Excellent.
Turtles.
Well, Machine, final thoughts.
once again, like... Thank you know Team EG. It's been awesome living here with these guys, like having such great teammates, practice partners, friends help me out with everything. I feel like it's definitely helping. Thank my sponsors. Clearly wouldn't be here without them. Sixfold Gaming, Steel Series, Intel Extreme Motherboards, Kingston HyperX, InWin for my awesome new case I just got. Probably forgetting some, but And you can look forward to me streaming a lot now. I'm streaming at twitch.tv/machineusa because I got my new rig all hooked up. And you can follow me on Twitter at machineusa. And I'd like to thank everyone who likes me because that covers everybody.
What's up, Greg?
Awesome.
I only would like to thank the people who support and like me. Everyone else can die.
Everyone else can burn to hell.
I'm waiting for the cue. You gotta cue me in, dude. I can't.
And last but not least, the guy has been waiting for two guys to give his final goodbyes. It is Pain User.
I would like to thank everybody who likes me as well. I would like to thank Team Check Six and our sponsors: Thermaltake, Pure Track, Pure Voice, End of Reality, and Gamers Uniform. I would also like to thank IGN and the IPL, because it's awesome working here and working on all this esports-related stuff. I think we're really going to be making big moves here in the future. Thanks to everybody for watching. Thanks to all the fans of the show. Thanks you guys for being on the show with me. Marcus, thanks for hosting, and I will see you this weekend. And
absolutely,
hopefully we'll have a great, great Halloween, and I'd like to stop by the house and see you guys as well. Hopefully
hang
out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Please do.
Awesome. We will.
Have some drinks and some pumpkin pie. It sounds like a good... Halloween to me.
Yep.
Wow, I like it. I like it. We could snuggle up next to the fire.
Right. Play some
tell ghost stories.
Watch you just swamp on.
What? I haven't played in a while.
Swamp on In Control.
I haven't played in a while. I'm sure In Control is going to do some serious damage.
My dog character in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is phenomenal. And if someone would teach me how to do a super, I feel like I would be the next.
I will teach you.
Jay Wong.
I will even teach you before we play. How about that?
Please do. I would.
I
feel so silly.
It'll be
beating
so easy.
Scoots over and
See,
over
the
and
funny
over
thing
again.
Is like
with level four beaming in the corner. I'm like,
probably you've probably asked Scoots how to do it, but I think the fact of the matter is that Scoots himself probably doesn't know how to throw out a super in that game. So. Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. So if he's
we're
just
really
dodging
good at the
it,
game.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody tune in to EG Masters Cup this weekend. It's gonna
do
be
it.
Awesome.
Do it, guys. I want to thank you for coming here to episode 19. I want to thank Machine for filling in for Idra. He will be back. I think we actually are
Thanks
taking a week off of the shows after the Masters Cup, as we did in the previous season as well. It'll also, I'll be doing some traveling. So more information coming on that on onemoregame.tv. But I want to thank everyone who tuned in tonight. Thank you so much for joining us here for an episode of Inside the Game. We'll see you next time, bitches. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace.